Lord, we have various ways that we give you thanks. We have so many ways to give you thanks, but we have so many more reasons why we give you thanks. You are so good. And we thank you for all that you have done and what you are doing. And you put people in our lives who display you. And thank you for moms who display your character. And Lord, we love you. Thank you for our time together today. May you use it in such a way that nourishes the seed of truth that you have put in us and grown us. And Lord, just thank you again for your goodness to us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. We've got a couple ladies going to come up and pray with our moms today. If you are here today and you are a mom, would you just please stand with us today? All moms, stand up. Look at all these good old moms. Good job, moms. Good job, moms. We're so thankful for you. Now, we're going to have a prayer over you, a prayer of blessing over you, and so thankful for you. Who's doing the first one? You doing the first one?
I'll do the first one.
All right, you go ahead. You just pray over these moms. So thankful for them.
Dear Lord, we just come to you today, and it's such an honor to stand here as a mom, and I just thank you for the love you poured out on us by giving us children, Father. Yeah. And I thank you for the moms that are here today who don't have their children with them. Mm. But I know the power of prayer, and I pray your blessings on those mothers, and I pray that those children would come around full circle to you, Lord. Mm. I know how important it is to have a praying mother and grandmother. And I just thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us, Father. And I want to also lift up that lady, that girl that's seeking so hard to have a child. Mm. And I ask, Father, that you would fill that void and that you would put a child in those people's lives, Lord Jesus. Amen. You are a great God, and nothing's too great for you. I just thank you for those mothers in our lives, Father, and all that they do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, if you are a mom with children still in the homes, remain standing. Everybody else have a seat. We know the job that you have is tough. And I'm so thankful. Look at all the moms who have kids still in the house. I love young families. And so thankful for you. Miss Lynn is going to pray over you because you know you need God's help, don't you? You know it. Miss Lynn's going to pray for that. Yes, you do. Hang on one second.
That was beautifully said and prayed by my sister in the Lord. Thank you for that prayer. You know, I've got a cheat sheet because I've got to keep it short, okay? So first thing I want to say this morning is, to God be the glory.
Amen.
Great things he has truly done.
Amen.
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 Now if you'll just bow your heads, close your eyes. And I just wanted to say to the Father this morning, on behalf of all the mothers here, thank you, Father God, for motherhood.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father God, for blessing each and every one of us to be moms. And Father, today I want to thank you also for your guidance. I want to thank you for your wisdom. I want to thank you for your strength that you provide when we mamas call upon you on behalf of our children and our grandchildren. Lord God, we know you hear our prayers. And so today, I ask the Lord Jesus to bless, to strengthen, and comfort the hearts of all the precious moms here today. And I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Miss Lynn. Amen. All right. Well, praise the Lord. We are so thankful for you. Mom, you can... want you to be honored today and be blessed. I teach often about we need to be praying out loud. And, you know, a lot of times we just kind of pray in our heart. And you know, especially when it comes to spiritual warfare prayer, you got to pray out loud. My mom used to pray out loud all the time, same prayer over and over again. And it sounded like this: God help you if you ever do that again. Said all the time. It was kind of followed up about, I'm going to beat you to death or something like that. Mama used to rock me when I was a kid. She used great big rocks. And, well, We are so thankful for you. We are so thankful for our moms. I want to look in the scripture at one of the smallest books in the Bible. We're going to read the whole book. If you go all the way to the end, book of Revelation, and back up three books, we're going to look at 2 John. We're going to read the whole book of 2 John. And that's what basically today's service is going to be, a study on this book of the Bible. The elder, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us, will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth, as we received commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have heard had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses, does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to see and speak face to face that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. Neat. We just read a whole book of the Bible. You can go home and say, man, I read the whole book of the Bible today. And I love this passage of scripture, and that we have, we've got some mysteries here, but we have some certainties here. And so we're going to start with one of the certainties. Who are we talking about? Who is writing this letter? This letter is written by John. And John is the disciple that I most wanted to be like, but I'm actually most like Peter. Peter was the one who was just kind of jumping into action before he thought through things and sometimes finding himself in trouble. Peter was one who would confess how much he loved the Lord and how faithful he was going to be to the Lord, only to find out he couldn't follow through with that confession. John was the one who confessed how much the Lord loved him. He's known as John the Beloved. The one who was sitting next to Jesus at that Last Supper, and the one who would lean against Jesus. I picture him, it's a struggle how to picture John, because you picture him with that image at the Last Supper, almost like a young teenager wanting the affection of his mentor and leaning against him at that supper. But this is no soft-handed little... This is the son of thunder. If you don't know that passage of scripture, James and John were two rough brothers who Jesus called to the ministry. And as a city denied Jesus, denied the gospel, James and John said, should we call down fire from heaven and just kill them all? And so Jesus said to those two young men, he says, you do not know what spirit you are of. They were so fiery, so ready to fight, so ready to bring down judgment on somebody, only to later, John, have his whole life upended by the love of Jesus. I've met with James Robinson, and he's one, when I read John, I think of him. When I read John, I think of James. I don't know if you know who he is, but back in my childhood, he was known as America's Angry Preacher. He was on the cover of Time Life magazine, and there he is, just anger all over his face, and just he would preach judgment, as the old preachers would say, he'd preach heaven hot and hell. I mean, let me get that right. That was backwards. Hell hot and heaven sweet. But he preached more on the heaven hot than he would the heaven sweet, and he was just so full of fire and judgment and anger until he had an encounter with the Holy Spirit that absolutely radically changed his life. And now he can't even share the gospel without just breaking into tears. I've been there at the recording of his show week after week after week, and I don't think he could go 30 minutes without just crying because of the overwhelming love of the Lord in him. And so when I think about John, it's almost as if I've seen it. I've seen the transformation that can happen in someone when they just become overwhelmed by the love of God. And here he is writing a letter to a lady. First verse, the elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth. So we don't know this lady's name. We know by this letter that apparently she has a church in her house. And so she is hosting a church. She has children that is still in the house. And she has children that have moved out. And because we know through the details of this letter that he's writing a letter to those that are still there because he has met those who have grown up and moved away. Let's keep reading. Because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever, grace, mercy, and mercy. Let me try that again. Grace, mercy, and peace. Be with you all. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father. And from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I don't know if you've counted yet, but we have said truth now three times, and we're going to four times. And verse 4, it says, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in what? Truth. So, basically, John says, in my travels and sharing the gospel around the world, I've bumped into some of your kids. And as I bumped into your kids, I found that what you instilled in them, the foundations of truth, they're still living it out. Amen. That's what, as a parent, that's what we want to hear. Now, I remember growing up, I would go to visit a friend's house, and we had Sunday night church. And I remember coming back, I'd go on Sunday afternoon home with a friend, and we'd come back Sunday night. And those parents would tell my parents, oh, Eric was so well behaved. He's such a good boy. And my parents said, bye, Eric. Same kid that I sent home. You know, isn't it interesting how sometimes we act different with other parents? Because I just got a letter from someone last week just commending me on one of my sons. And I think, is that my kid? Are you talking about my kid? No, honestly, is it not the greatest thing when someone says, you have instilled a character in your child and they are still living it out? Amen. That's just the greatest compliment. And this is what's going on in this letter. John says, I run across some of your kids. And look at verse 4 again. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we receive the commandment from the Father. He says, they're living out their faith. That's what that means, walking in truth. They're living out their faith. The faith that you instilled in them as a child and you nourished it in them and nurtured them, they are continuing in that faith. Amen. Isn't that awesome? To know that we have an opportunity to transform a life, to bring someone to a relationship with Jesus Christ. I remember the conversation that I was 7 years old and we were in the den at our house, and it was after Sunday night service, and I recognized by the tone that things were shifting in this conversation. And my mom and dad sat down with me and they talked to me about salvation. And that night I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Amen. Little County Line Baptist Church in Walton, Texas. I remember walking the aisle the next Sunday. And getting baptized in the cold, cold water. And just everything's been different ever since. Thank God for parents who love the Lord and are willing to share that faith with their children. Thank God for mine. And so John says, I ran across some of you kids and they're living out the faith that you instilled in them. Now I understand that as mothers and fathers have different roles in the life of children, it is typically understood by psychologists that a mom really has the greatest effect from birth till 7 years old. That they really, that nurturing that is natural to mom really takes effect from birth to 7 years old. And then about 7 years old, the character of the father really comes into play. And so I think with that, there was a Catholic priest who said, you give me a child until the age of 7, I'll have him the rest of his life. And so understanding what psychologists say and what this priest had said, that the forming of a person's personality is really done by a mom. That's why you've had that phrase, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And so thank God for moms who said, I'm going to do it in a way intentionally that points people to Jesus. I want to see God work in their life. Well, I got to get moving on this passage of scripture. It says, I rejoiced when I ran into your kids and they were living out their faith. Verse 5, and now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is not a new commandment, but Jesus brought new life to an old commandment. When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. This is not new, but Jesus said, this is a new commandment. And then he begins sharing how to love one another. And I want to look at this as I just kind of missed a part. As we're looking at this lady, can I just point out, this is not the only one doing this. There are several ladies mentioned in scripture that had churches in their homes. What in the world would the church have been without women who said, I'm going to serve the Lord and sacrifice for the Lord? The church would have limped along. Actually, in the first 400 years of the church, it exploded in growth because of ladies like this. We know all through Jesus' ministry that there were ladies that were going along with him, that he was giving them the ability to speak and to share and to do. And we see this over and over in the scriptures. We have one mentioned in Colossians named Nympha. She had a church in her house. One in Acts chapter 16 named Lydia. She had a church in her house. One named Priscilla in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. There was a church in her house. And she's actually mentioned in Romans 16 as being in partnership with her husband Aquila. I want you to look at Romans 16 verse 1. This lady named Phoebe was the one who carried the letter to the church of Rome, the letter to the Romans, entrusted with this, and it wasn't like an errand boy letter. This woman had some prestige. She had authority. It's chapter 16, verse 1. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed, she has been a helper of many and of myself also. Then it goes into Priscilla in verse 3. And then look at verse 7. There's Junia. And it's told that Junia was actually an apostle and also a prisoner for the cause of Christ. So we see many ladies in the scriptures that are fulfilling the will of God and seeing the church expand and grow. Why? Because is there anyone as good at nurturing someone than a mom? I mean, and to take this brand new faith that is just like a spiritual baby, the church of Jesus Christ, and it is growing by leaps and bounds, but there's ladies in here that are nurturing the growth of the church. Praise God. And we look at this as he continues to encourage her. He says, here's the thing, we need to continue in love. John is the one who was just, he can't get this topic off of his lips. He cannot talk about anything but love. Who is this John? He's the one who, when Peter was saying, I love you and I'll be faithful to you to the end, speaking of Jesus, John says, you love me and I can't just get over it. And when all the other disciples left, it was John standing at the foot of the cross with who? Jesus's mother. And Jesus says to John, I want you to take care of my mom. And so we see John, this one who understood the great love, and what is he doing? He is encouraging this lady in love. Verse 6, this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. When you see this word walk over and over again, there's some words that get repeated in this passage of scripture. One, obviously, was truth, repeated over and over again. Also, the word walk. It is to live out the truth that has been imparted to you. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Let me make this very, very clear. Christianity is not a knowledge you should know. as much as it is a life that you should live. Amen. If your faith has not passed from knowledge to action, then you need to examine it again. Jesus said it's the foolish one who has knowledge but doesn't do anything with it. He's like a person that builds his house on the sand. The wise one is the one who has knowledge and does something with it. You must move from knowledge to action. And so John is encouraging this lady who houses this church that you just continue love, abide in love. This word abide shows up again and again in verse 9, and it's all through the first letter from John. What is this abide? He tells us in 1 John, he said, it's not so much that you love God as much as that God loves you. It's not that we first love him, he first loved us. And when you just hang out on that, abide in that, when you hang out on the fact that God loved you that much, it's going to reciprocate back in a love towards him. So if we can just simplify it all the way down to one thing, just hang out in his love. Amen. Just dwell on it. Meditate on it. Marinate in it. Hang out that God loves you so much. How much? That much. We took communion in remembrance of the cross. That's how much he loves you. With Peter, he was saying, I love you, God. How many times have I told him that only to fail the next day? You see, the problem with my love is it changes. There's some days I love him with all my heart. There's some days I love me more than I love him. And so if that's what my salvation were based on, my love, there's days I don't even feel saved. But thank God it's not based on my works, but his grace. Amen. It's not based on mine, but his. And John got that. He said, he loves us. God is love. You abide in that love. Love lingers. When everyone else left, John, realizing how much Jesus loved, he lingered at the foot of the cross. Love lasts. When the disciples and apostles were being martyred, they tried to kill this man. They threw him in a vat of boiling oil for him only to live. And all he had to do was deny Jesus, but love lasts. He said, no, I will not deny him. Even if you try to kill me. They couldn't kill him, so they had to put him off on an island somewhere. And on the island of Patmos is where he got the book we call Revelation. He received revelation from the Lord. Love lingers when everybody else leaves. Love lasts. As we focus on him, we will still be found faithful if we hold on to his love for us. That's what John did. And he's encouraging her to do the same. But there's something else about love. Love is protective. Growing up on the farm, we had a lot of critters. We had a lot of chickens, and we had game hens. How many of y'all ever raised game hens, game chickens? It's a fighting roosters. It's not that we were fighting roosters, but that's just bred on them, man. They got some meanness to them. And you see that little hen walking across the yard, and she got 10 or 12 chicks in tow. Go up there and mess with them. I dare you. That mama chicken will climb up your leg, spurring all the way. Or go out there and grab that calf, or that cow that just had that calf. She'll run over her calf to run you over. Sometimes I think animals got more sense than people. Because God put it in that mama's heart, whether it be a mama chicken or a mama cow, God put it in their heart to protect their offspring. And we got some that don't get that. And it's like the wiring that God put in a mom, and some it seems to have gone haywire. God says, no, when you love, you protect. What you love, you protect. Amen. And so here's what John is telling this lady. Said verse 7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. What is he saying? That people believe that Jesus had not yet been born. The Messiah had not yet been born. The Jewish people expected the Messiah to come as a conquering king and a warrior and to free them from Rome. And then he would set up on a throne there in Jerusalem. And instead, he went to a cross and died. So they said, it can't be him. We're still waiting for the right Messiah. And John says, no, it was him. It's a spiritual kingdom that he's setting up. It's spiritual victory that he brings. And so he says, if you have anybody telling you the Messiah hadn't come yet, don't let him preach in your church. It goes on verse 8. Look to yourselves that we do not lose these things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ. Let me just give you this to you again. I know I do it all the time. It's because these are essential beliefs to salvation. If you don't believe these four things, and it's more than just a knowledge, but to trust in these four things, that the virgin birth of Jesus, this is what John has said. They're saying he ain't been born yet. The virgin birth, what does it mean? God's his father. Amen? That leads to point number two, the virtuous life. Because God's his father, he wasn't born with a sinful nature, but he continued to live out a virtuous life. Virgin birth, virtuous life. Everybody with me? Say it all the time. It's good to memorize this. Number three, vicarious death. Meaning he died for your sins, not his own. He died for your sins. He had no sin. So he died for your sins so that we might have salvation. And my favorite one, number four, the victorious resurrection. Amen. The victorious resurrection. So you got to believe those things in order to have salvation. Now you can say, check, 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 check. I believe those things. But you need to call upon the name of the Lord and have a transformation and have a spiritual transformation by entrusting your life into Jesus. But you got to believe those four things. There's a fifth thing that I think is very soon return. It's not essential to salvation, but it should cause an urgency. That it may be that he shows up before we ever get out of this house. And then your choices are done. You should have already made that choice. So John is saying, make sure they're preaching the doctrine of Christ. In verse 9, whoever transgresses does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. What is he saying? You don't believe those things, you are not saved. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. What is he saying? He says you can't allow that kind of influence to touch your kids. I get a little free with my language, and I did in the first service. I'm going to try and tone it down for a little bit. But if you don't protect your kids from this thing right here, you need to examine something. All right, I'll say it. I said it in the first service. You're stupid. If you just hand that to them and let them do whatever they want to, come on now. Ignorance is not knowing. Ignorance is, oh, I didn't know that they actually see those things or hear those things or come in contact with a predator or come in contact with someone who's trying to undermine their faith. No, you know those things. So knowing those things and loving your child, protect them. There's free software that you could put on these devices, or better yet, take it out of their hands. Take it out of there. Let them use their imagination. Let them think for a change and experience. I just talked to a teacher a couple weeks ago. He said, after COVID, he said that we had kids that were spending every waking hour behind a screen. And then we had them back into a classroom and they couldn't think. He said, son, take your pencil out. And the kid just looked at him like a zombie. He said, buddy, can you hear me? He said, now take your little bag and unzip it and pull out a pencil. He said, he just looked at him. I mean, brain deadening some of these things. Let's be careful. Protect. Love is protective. And I don't want to harp on it, but I do want to harp on it. If you let that raise your child, you're not in control of what they learn. And I promise you there are people that are trying to undermine the truth that you're putting in them. They're trying, they're targeting our kids, and we have to protect them from those things. Amen. Can't say amen, say oh me. So, love is going to protect. Here's what John says. You can't allow every voice in the house to influence. So what that means to me as a pastor is, I'm not going to let someone up here who doesn't believe in the doctrine of Jesus Christ to come and spread the message. I can't do that. I can't do that. We have to protect our house. Amen? Amen. Now it goes on to get a little more harsh. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. He who greets him shares in his evil deeds. And so just because you didn't actively commit the sin, by your passivity, you were complicit to it. I want to hang on to that for just a second. I want to let that soak in for a second. This passage of scripture started talking about truth, 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 truth. And then in verse 7, it says many deceivers are in the world. You know what deception is? Lie, 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 lie. So the world is under the sway of the father of lies. And our role is to speak truth, 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 truth. And if they're hearing more of the lies than they hear of the truth, which one you think they're going to hold on to? So moms, as you have those babies, I remember the Marsh kids. I remember Avery. She couldn't even talk good. She's quoting scripture. I mean, you could hardly understand what she was saying. She knew what she said. She was quoting scripture. Praise God. You put that truth into their little minds, because there's a whole lot of lies that the world is trying to put into their minds. So protect them from those and speak truth in them. And just because you weren't actively involved in the lies, by your passivity, being passive, you are complicit in the evil. That should encourage us to be more diligent and vigilant to protect our kids' minds. Now, as we are looking at this lady, we're wrapping this up. As we're looking at this lady, we don't know if we were talking about her physical children, these were actually her kids, or her spiritual children. There are a lot of ladies in this church that don't actually have children and yet have a lot of spiritual babies. Amen. We just covered Wednesday night while being single is a blessing of God. It's a gift of God. And ladies, if you are single or if you don't have children, don't allow Mother's Day to heap some kind of negativity or ugliness on you. Don't you do it. God says that your singleness is a gift. Use it to what? Make more babies. Amen. Now, you need to understand, I'm talking about spiritual babies. Please hear me. What he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is that it frees you up to be able to be involved in his kingdom work. And do that. And this lady that he's talking to, she may have been single, and it appears that she is, isn't it? But she's got some spiritual babies out there, and they're walking in truth, and he's encouraging her in that. Verse 12, having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come and see you, speak face to face, that our joy may be full. Look at verse 13. Don't miss this part. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. What's going on there? Oh, he done met this woman's spiritual cousins. The children of your elect sister. What does that mean? There's another church happening in another house with another woman raising spiritual babies. And they know of this woman. And they're having conversations. And they're saying, hey, your baby's spiritual cousin said, hey. Say, hey. And so you're having these letters being passed one to the other. And we don't know a whole lot of what went on in the first century church. But what we do see is there are women leading churches in their homes. Why? They were intentional with the gospel. And ladies, please hear me. You aren't a second-class saint because you're female. Do you hear me? You are not a second-class saint because you're a female. You are not. And the scriptures have given us a whole lot of text that tells us, no, these ladies who are serving the Lord, sacrificing for the Lord, they were spiritual mamas to a whole lot of children. Praise God. I want to just encourage you and see you empowered in your faith, that you go forth and do likewise, being intense in your love and intentional in your living. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for ladies who will take the task of spreading your gospel message and not pass on it, but to take it to heart and do so. Lord, I thank you for moms who love enough to tell the truth, who love enough that when their children reach that age of accountability, when they know right from wrong, when they can understand the truth of the gospel, that thank you for those moms that come to their children and recognize that without Jesus, their life is hopeless. And they share that gospel message with their children. Obviously, Lord, we thank you for dads too. And Lord, I pray that the dads in the house be good husbands that first and foremost love their babies, mama. Well, Lord, we just want to honor this role of mother today. Let us live with intentionality that we would be on mission. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.